Hello, everybody, and welcome to Kentucky Ag Matters, a podcast designed to inform and educate both producers and consumers about all matters affecting agriculture. On this week's show, we visit with Nikki Ellis, director of the Kentucky Pork Producers Association. And as always, we'll wrap things up with this week's timely tip. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you enjoy the show. Well, hello, everybody.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, Jay.
How is David and Vicki both doing this morning?
Rolling this morning.
Rolling?
Yeah, I was doing pretty good, and Vicki kind of messed me up. You know, when we were, she texted me about 5:15 and says, "Hey, I'm going to stop at McDonald's. Tell me what you want." And I said, "Well, I want one of them frou-frou coffees, you know." And so I only drank one at the house. So then when we get to Madisonville, no frou-frou coffee. Their coffee maker's down. How do you operate a McDonald's when your hot drink machine is down? How do you do that? How's that possible?
I don't think you do very well.
Yeah.
That may really not even be considered operating. Not to knock on McDonald's. I mean, it's wintertime. So yeah. Their hot drink machine is going to be down, just like their ice cream machine was down
all
summer.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Well, when I tried to order his drink, and she said, "I'm not going to be able to do that," I thought, "Oh man,
yeah,
I'm gonna have to disappoint him."
But I'm still rolling this morning, so I just had the one coffee, but I'm making it this morning.
My wife walked into the kitchen this morning at 4:10, and she said, Your pod is already in the coffee maker. Your sweet and low's already in the cup. Do you want me just to hit start for you?" And I said, "Please." Because I had positioned it all before I went to bed last night.
When you make a drive in the morning, you know, which you got to get everything together and got to, you know. And my wife said, "Do you want me to feed in the morning?" And I was like, "No, I'll get up and do it." So I got up at 4 and went and fed the calves and put her mules up and fed them, so like I do every morning. So,
well, I had to do a little feeding this morning too.
Yeah,
my kids are gone. It's fall break, and so they're gone. They're with the grandparents in Williamsburg, and so we have a guinea pig, and we have
five gallon buckets of feed can a guinea pig eat?
You'd be surprised how much a guinea pig can eat. So I did all that, and of course my husband, he had knee replacement, so I had to make sure he was had all the things he needed today. So
I'm glad he didn't need a frou-frou coffee. That's all I'm saying.
He's got his orange Kool-Aid though.
I guess
he'd had to go to Henderson.
You can't find these things in Webster County. I'm telling you, it's kind of like cough drops.
That's true.
I digress.
Well, y'all made it. Y'all made it here and got here early to get everything going and ready to go to at least beat our guest in here today anyway.
barely, but we did.
Guest today on today's show is Miss Nikki Ellis. Good morning, Nikki.
Good morning, everybody.
Glad to have you back with us.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here.
Well, and you come bearing gifts this time, too. So she walked in with a handful of caps for everybody this morning. And that's
it's always a plus.
Well, we talked about, you know, free caps. She said, you know, everybody needs another free cap. And a lot of the caps in the ag industry aren't free anymore. They got a price tag behind them somewhere. Especially
those green and red ones.
That's right. But these are nice and good-looking caps. And it being October and it being Porktober, as you called it, pork month. We'll be happy to get out and wear these around on our jaunts the rest of this month.
Well, we'd be proud to see it.
With what all's going on in the pork industry in Kentucky? I know you've just come back from a trip to Iowa. I was doing my radio show with Alan Watts this morning from WKDZ, and he said he caught up with y'all last week while you were in Iowa.
He did. That's what Emma had to sneak out about 7:00 in the morning. She went out and sat in the car and talked to Alan for a little bit. So that was pretty fun. But no, we had a good meeting last week. They're in Des Moines at the National Pork Board headquarters. Went in and it's when they bring all the state staff together. You know, we have our state executive meeting, but also the entire state's staff comes. It's one of the events that we're all together, and it's really a deep dive into, you know, what's coming down the pike, what's the outlook? You know, we're in the process of setting some of our priorities. We're going through a long-range visioning task force there through the National Pork Board and the National Pork Producers Council. And Kentucky's lucky enough to have two folks on there. We have Eric Hurd, and then we also got Mr. Jimmy Tosh, so we're pretty well represented. So we did a big deep dive on that. We looked at some consumer trends, some buying trends, just all things pork, you name it, we talked about it, and we definitely ate it while we were out there too.
It's always good when you can get together with other folks that are like-minded and do sort of the same things that you do. But I know when we have our national conferences, it's always interesting to talk to folks in other states that, I mean, they're all ag agents like we are, but we don't all do the same thing, and I'm certain that it's a great networking opportunity for you all to exchange ideas and maybe what works for some, you know, that somebody else may have tried and worked, or even what didn't work for that matter, and be able to just kind of brainstorm with folks, like-minded people.
Certainly. Last Wednesday, we spent the entire day just doing state sharing. The entire day. And that's the really beautiful thing about the pork industry. You know, whenever you're out there with nationals, you would think that it would be, you know, expectations or project ideas coming from the top down. No, pork is still a very grassroots organization. So while we're out there, you know, they want to hear just as much of what's working in our states and what's not, and needs and things that we see coming down the pike. But because of that, we're not duplicating. You know, we're able to be a lot more strategic with all of our dollars and figure out how, you know, I can take an Oklahoma Pork Council video and switch out the logo and be able to use it here. You know, how we can all partner together to do maybe a larger e-commerce buy. So again, it's more about not duplicating.
Right.
Sure.
Right. Well, I know, Nikki, this is Porktober. And, you know, this is National Pork Month, and we want to celebrate pork every month. But, you know, this just happens to be that special month. So what are some things that maybe the Kentucky pork producers are doing, or maybe some things that you learned from a consumer standpoint when you were in Iowa? You know, what are some of those things that you're seeing that are coming down the pike, or what are some special things you are doing this month?
Right. Well, you know, this month, again, you know, while we were out in Des Moines, we've learned, you know, the last 12 months have been the hardest the pork industry's ever faced. And with that, we have become much more strategic in all of our spending and our planning and things. So we're not necessarily doing a big road show like we might have done in the past. But what we're doing is we're really trying to target people where they are. So you're going to see a lot more social posts this year, and a lot more things geared toward cooking at home. For the first time in a long time, 84% of meals are being eaten in the family home again. 84%.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's a big number. I mean, I would not have thought it would have been that high.
I hadn't either, because, you know, whenever you look at our large population, and you know, David, I kind of get zoned in on my little Boyle County home there. But you know, whenever you start thinking about some of these places like Chicago and New York, where you can't really pack in, you know, you can't go to Sam's Club or Costco and pack in and fill your deep freeze. You know, those people are eating out a lot, but 84%.
Wow.
And that's really where the population is, you know.
Yeah.
So with that, you know, we got to start thinking how are people buying pork? And right now, with inflation being the way it is, pork is actually positioned pretty well. You know, it's pretty cost effective.
Absolutely.
And we were looking at some data out there, and you can actually see that people are starting to sub out steaks for chops, and you're definitely seeing that appeal of ground pork. You know, just that price point and the versatility of it all. But something else that we're seeing come down the pike is pork being more of an ingredient rather than a center of the plate item. You know, people are really starting to like to use it in you know, like bowls and that type thing. You know, because anywhere you go, you've got some kind of burrito bowl or whatever it might be.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
But it is really booming. And I think people are really starting to see, too, the nutritional value in pork. Mm-hmm. Because when it comes to people putting stuff in their grocery cart, number one, still price. But number two, after that, you know, these generations that we're looking at, millennials and Gen Z, they're concerned about nutrition. And they're figuring out that these animal proteins, for the price, they really pack a big punch. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to see some pretty positive trends going forward once we get out of this inflation and yeah. and people, you know, being able to put a little bit more back in their grocery account. So,
well, you know, and I've been saying it for years, I honest to goodness, and our next guest may not like this as much as you do, but I really do like pork burgers better than I do ground beef. And I think it has a lot. You can flavor it to where and season it to where it has a different flavor than mm-hmm. than just, you know, than ground beef. And I really like them. And we actually in our household we eat pork burgers. We don't eat. And there's some other things that are going on that I can't eat as much beef with. But pork has been a great substitute. And right now it's a focal point of the hamburgers when we have. I say hamburgers. When we have pork burgers, that's what we have. We have those pork burgers.
And you're not alone in that. You know, we and something else that we're able to do, you know, with our cooking business there at the Exposition Center there in Louisville, we're able to pick up on a lot through sorry, guys.
Are you good?
It's okay.
Sorry.
You're good.
But, again, through our sales there at the Exposition Center, we're able to pick up on a lot of data that we don't necessarily have to pay for, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. But pork burgers are just so popular. Mm-hmm. And all demographics of people, it doesn't matter if we're selling them at a volleyball tournament, at a, you know, the gun show that they had last weekend, or state fair. I mean, people really are flocking to that pork burger. And again, I think it's because you can manipulate it any way you want to. Yeah. But again, that pork fat has just such a unique taste compared to anything else. And you know, David, I do like my beef too. And we're not competitors. I think we're all in this thing together.
I agree.
But right now, I think price is just definitely the driver.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I definitely think so.
You was talking about adding pork into other dishes. Back a few years ago, I was fixing baked beans for the family. I think it was actually for, we had a family get together, and I realized, heck, I didn't have any bacon. You know, a lot of people put bacon in there.
Yep.
And so I just changed it up, and I just cooked sausage. I just cooked sausage, and then I put that into the baked beans and seasoned, you know, of course, and it was a hit. And that's the only way I make baked beans now is I don't put bacon in it at all now. I
right.
put that sausage. And, you know, because that sausage has that seasoning already packed in there. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just neat to be able to just experiment and do some different things and add some, you know, different flavors in there.
Oh, definitely.
And sausage is one of those that you can do that with several different things. And like I said, it has that natural seasoning already in it through the process of making the sausage.
Right, exactly. You know, last night I made a big pot of chili, and, you know, we use a hot country sausage in ours. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, on taco night, you know, I've quit buying anything but chorizo, you know.
Yeah.
And my kids love it, and we just, there's just so many possibilities with pork. It's really endless.
Yeah, my local butcher, actually, he's a vertically integrated producer, actually. He was a pork producer for years and years mm-hmm. and started looking for an outlet for his products. And when I was an agent in Christian County, I helped him get this business going. Now he's got a storefront selling pork,
right.
beef and chicken and other things too, but he's mainly running his pork through there.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll do different flavors of pressed pork patties that you can buy already, you know, in a vacuum sealed package ready to cook. He's got some bacon pork burgers. He's got some Cajun seasoned pork burgers and just a lot of different possibilities that you can do with that.
Right. And I think any storefront, you know, you go in now, you see people or processors and things playing around with different things like that. I think all that goes back to, you know, people are eating at home. They want to try new stuff. And man, pork plays a good role in that.
I think people got bored during COVID.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, COVID, I think, helped.
Oh, definitely.
In my house, especially, we have my son, during that COVID year in 2020, my son was home. That was his senior year. So he likes to cook anyway, and he just started doing a lot of different things. And because of that price point, we eat a lot of pork anyway. We like pork. But he started doing just a lot of different things right. like that and making new things and carnitas and tacos al pastor and a lot of different things you can do with pork.
Nikki, do you think that the change that we've seen in that demand is because of all the different things that we're seeing now, that maybe Mexican food is a little more mainstream, maybe some of these other, you know, I don't know what the word is, but maybe some of these other, the different nationalities that we have in our country now, it's much more popular than, say, beef or chicken or whatever.
Right. No, I think so, most certainly. You know, I think, you know, America's always been a melting pot of cultures, but I think it's really starting to make its way into your mainstream menus now. And, you know, I think people, like we just talked about, people are getting bored and they're looking out there for those new and adventurous things. And, you know, right now you're going to see a big push on our menu board, on our website and things. There's a lot of Mexican and Asian influence, and people are just looking for new tastes and things. And you know, I think gone are the days of you know, spaghetti, meatloaf, you know, 5 days every other week or whatever. And I think people are really starting to get adventurous, and I don't think that's going away.
I think, too, being able to easily, you know, Google, if you will, or Pinterest, or whatever avenue you want to go down, all you have to type in is recipes using pork. Mm-hmm. And you can have way more recipes than what you could ever have the time to sit down there and really go through. Yep. And it allows folks the opportunity to really try new things, because those recipes are so easily, you can so easily find them now, where back several years ago, you had to have the book or, you know, the
it wasn't as easy to access it as it is now. It is much more easily, because you know, you're looking for something different to make, and something comes to your mind, and you just click on your phone, and you just look up a Google search, and you have a recipe there, and it's very easy to follow, and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've screenshotted or saved something off TikTok or Facebook or Instagram, and, you know, you watch the little 30-second deal on what to do, and you convince yourself you can do it. Then at the end, there's that ingredients list, and you screenshot it, and you take it to the, you know, grocery, and you're ready to go.
If anybody follows me on social media, they see the food I cook all the time, and it's all a product of just exactly what you said. That's where it comes from.
Right,
and
absolutely.
It's just so accessible nowadays.
Yeah, and, you know, when we have all these new and different, you know, foodstuffs that we're making now, but let's not forget that, you know, pork chops, and I'm actually speaking my home county, has the Country Ham Festival every year, and that is actually coming up. Would have been the weekend, this will air next Monday, but it'd be this weekend. But so, you know, all those different traditional types of pork that we think about are still around, and you it's hard to beat a good slice of country ham. And
I had for breakfast.
Yeah, so, you know, you know, we think about all this different and all the work that y'all are doing to help promote that. And I think getting that out in front of consumers is just so important for us to be able to continue to move forward in this pork industry.
Exactly. You know, this consumer promotion stuff, that's really what enables all these farming families to keep doing what they're doing. And nothing to take away from those traditional dishes, because Kentucky is actually in the top 10 states for pork consumption. You know, we're small in population, but we sure are eating our weight, whether that's sausage, country ham, or chops, whatever it might be, we're doing our job.
Yep.
So when that popped up last week, I was pretty prideful in that. Mm-hmm. But with that, you know, I think we're trying to identify that movable middle, those consumers that maybe would choose to maybe go out into an alternate protein or maybe choose a more of a plant-based dish or something of that nature. We're really trying to showcase the versatility. And, you know, I think a lot of that also leads into what our plan's going to be going forward, and really setting our strategy to the future. You know, we're going to come out of this economic slump hopefully pretty soon, but we've got to be looking to the future, and we just got to make sure that we're sticking with it, sticking with all the trends.
Oh, absolutely. And I know y'all have are starting to make a push for your strategic plan that you have in cooperation with Tennessee pork producers. Yep. And, I mean, that's a great segue, and people talk about segues, but that was a great segue, by the way. But talk to us a little bit about what that entails and all the different things that y'all are trying to glean from that to be able to have this strategic plan in place.
Yeah, so when I interviewed, and you can ask Ray Allen Mackey or Dennis Liptrap, any of them, when I interviewed for my position, the first thing I asked was, do you have a strategic plan? And they kind of looked at me like deer in the headlights. I said, okay. I said, well, if I come, that's something I would like to do within my first 3 years of being here. And my guys, you know, have stuck with me on that, because I think if we're spending farmers' dollars and trying to create success, we've got to set some goals. You know, not necessarily a check-off to-do list, but really thinking forward to the future and what our challenges are going to be, whether that's, you know, farm lending, or whether it's biosecurity, foreign animal disease, whatever it might be. You know, we've got to get out there, and we've got to talk to our farmers and figure out what it is that they want us to focus on. Because just standing back and kind of listening to ideas and throwing darts at the wall, that's not really my thing. I like to be a little bit more strategic than that. And you know, teaming up with Tennessee has really enabled us to step out there. And we've got an outside contractor coming in to help us. We're pretty excited about that. Somebody who's not necessarily tied to Kentucky Ag, not necessarily somebody who knows a lot of people here. Somebody who's coming in without a bias. They actually helped do Minnesota Pork's strategic plan last year. And I really like theirs. It's more of a vision going forward and more big goals than, like I said, than a checklist. And that's why we went there, but also we're able to share a little bit of that cost. Yeah. But we're a natural fit working with them, because we have so many producers that go across the line into Tennessee or, you know, back here in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And we're just really trying to do what's best, and because of that, you know, we've got some calls to action to some of our farmers through this strategic plan. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody that signed up for our newsletter or follows us on social media right now, we've got an open survey, and it doesn't matter, you know, if you're into show pigs, if you're selling direct to consumer, if you're an ag lender, whatever it might be. You know, these are completely blind surveys, but we need all the information that we can get.
Yeah, we can actually put that link in our show notes. So when folks click on the podcast, they can get to that link. I've got it right here in front of me, and I'll send that to Jay, and he can put that in our show notes for folks. But, you know, the importance of us working together, and you talked about producers working on both sides of the line, and the one that comes to my mind is Mr. Jimmy Tosh down in the western part of Tennessee and Kentucky. And you know, he has, I mean, his reach is pretty broad from down in that area, isn't it?
Oh, it definitely is. Mr. Jimmy and his sons Jamie and Jonathan, you know, what they're doing down there in Henry, Tennessee has got a big reach. You know, Mr. Jimmy is one of the top 30 producers in the nation. A lot of people may not know that.
Yeah.
But, you know, what they have done is very transformative to the pork industry. You know, Mr. Jimmy really got in, and he likes to talk all the time about how he's a crop farmer turned pig farmer. He's done a great job. You know, he figured out this grower thing before really anybody else did in our area. And I really have to take my hat off to them, because I hear so many young farmers, so many young crop farmers talking about how, you know, they want to put hog barns in to add value to their crops, or or because of the barns, they're able to come back and farm with their siblings. Or, you know, right now I'm working with a young family, you know, he's on the waiting list for some barns because his wife wants to come back and farm too. So he's going to do the crops and she's going to do the hogs. And I think that's just absolutely amazing that those opportunities are out there for new and beginning farmers.
Yeah, you know, we see that in the poultry industry a lot, and it's great to see it in the swine industry, to be quite honest with you, because we've got to be able to produce that protein for folks to eat. I mean, we've got to have some kind of way, and not everybody's beating a door down to be a pig farmer. Everybody's kind of like being a chicken farmer. Nobody's whooping the door down, but if you have those opportunities where people can get into that, come back to the farm and do something they've always wanted to do, you know, those to me, folks that are providing those opportunities are much appreciated for sure.
I agree completely. You know, we've got so many good folks that we've got to keep engaged in agriculture, but also creating pathways for folks that want to come in. You know, we've got an aging farmer population, and we've got to be able to still feed the masses. You know, when it comes to the pork industry here in Kentucky, you know, we're pretty lucky. We've got a major packer right there in downtown Louisville. You know, the trucking's not as far. You don't have as much cost in that. You know, we're here right in the grain belt these days. You're not trucking in feed. We've got a pretty mild climate. I think we're pretty much set up for success, really.
If someone wanted to be a part of the association, mm-hmm. You know, talk, and I know we touched on this when you were here before, but it never hurts to hear it again. How does someone become a member of the association and just kind of do a recap on everything that association does?
Right. And we're always looking for new members. And, you know, now we've made it super easy. You can go to kypork.org and you can hop on, figure out which membership piece fits you the best. And you can pay right there online and you're good for a year, or we even have a lifetime membership now if you're feeling froggy. We like to talk about all of our membership benefits, and I'll run down that list, but one that you're probably not going to see listed, that I've spent a lot of time traveling with farmers this summer, going to various leadership events and different networking deals, but they said, you know, the networking and the mentorship that you get from being involved, they said that's really the value in paying that membership. And you know what, again, I've got a new and beginning farm family. Mr. Daniel Adams traveled with me to D.C. with Eric Hurd, and to just be the kind of the third wheel and listening to their conversations, just that going back and forth and sharing experiences and even the strains and trying to figure out solutions to each of their problems, you know, I think that's really where the membership benefit is. But you know, beyond that, what you're going to see on the website, you know, you've got myself and Emma working in Frankfort on your behalf. You've got the National Pork Producers Council working avidly every day in D.C., whether that's, you know, judicially, in Congress, whatever it might be. And we've got a very strong team there. You know, also something that a lot of people don't know, we're actually a part of a health insurance group. You know, like a lot of the other commodities, whether it be soybean or cattlemen, that allows you through our membership, you know, you can come in and create your own group, you know, there for your farm, and get under that umbrella and maybe save a little bit of money. And I think too, you know, those folks that don't necessarily have a spouse that's working off the farm, there's a big benefit there. You know, healthcare is not cheap. Those are really the top things. You know, you get to come to the annual meeting and all that type stuff. But that's something that Emma's really going to focus on over the next year. So keep your ear to the ground on that and watch out. She's going to be reaching out to a few industry partners saying, hey, what more can we get? And we've got a lot of industry partners that are ready to come along. So hopefully by our annual meeting there in January, shamelessly, it's January 19th in Bowling Green if you'd like to come. But I think we'll have some new stuff to announce then, so keep your ear out.
And I know y'all have, and we'll talk about the annual meeting here just in a second, but I know you've got some new folks that are working with you. Kylie's now working with you, if you want to introduce her, since you were here last.
Yeah. So since the last time I was here, we brought on Kylie Trail. Kylie came to us through a state grant that I put in through the National Pork Board. So we got her on some additional funds. And Kylie came in because, you know, David, a lot of folks in Kentucky just aren't well versed on swine health at all. You know, I brought her in at a time we didn't have a state vet. We still don't have a deputy state vet. We don't have a lot of folks that we can deploy if we ever have a huge situation. And you know, we don't really have the capabilities to go out and get producers educated and signed up for programs. You know, the pork industry has come up with several programs. You know, really our number one priority is foreign animal disease preparedness. And we've come out with things like AgView that helps with traceability, all free to farmers. It's a farmer paid program through the National Pork Board. You know, we've all got to get our secure food plans in, whether that's beef, pork, whatever. And all that takes time. And I don't know many farmers that have a whole lot of time or a burning desire to sit down and say, oh, please let me fill out this template. Yeah,
let's do some more paperwork.
So, and I was trying to do that on my own, and my farmers finally said, Nikki, we love you, but we can't do another thing. Yeah. What you can really do is get me somebody that's going to be an expert that can come in and help me fill this stuff out and just be done with it. I said, challenge accepted. And we, you know, Kylie comes to us from the beef industry. I'm pretty sure Dave Maples is still upset with me about that one, but I didn't go for her. She came to me.
Yep.
But we've got her, and we didn't know she came to us on a 1-year contract. But she'll be staying on after this. Kylie's done an amazing job, but what she's doing is she has taken any producer facing program that we offer. And she has put together this beautiful package. She'll call you and set a meeting day, meet you wherever, if you want me at the gas station, home, whatever. And she'll come out, and before she comes, she'll give you a list of all the things that she needs. And you come with your folder ready to go, and by the end of the day, you're going to have almost a completely finished secure pork supply plan enrolled in AgView. She'll help you, you know, clean up your prem IDs because that's definitely a need here in the state of Kentucky. She'll make sure that all your plans are translated over to Spanish if you have that need for your workers. She'll help you get your signage printed. Our on-farm sustainability reports, she'll help you pull all of that and get all that created. And now I think she's even stepping into the PQA program, David. So we're going to have some extra help there and hope to do some more in-person things. We've been getting a lot of demand for that and transportation quality assurance. So she's going to be your one-stop shop. Yep. And the neat thing is she's also, you know, writing down the times and the dates that she's meeting with everybody. So she also knows when to call you and say, hey, it's time to update again.
Right.
And with her being housed at the pork producers, rather than maybe, you know, a state government entity or something like that, she's got a pretty good pulse on what's going on. She knows when somebody's opening a new barn or somebody's bought a new site, and she can say, hey, heard this was happening. Is this true? And most of the time it's yes. She's like, well, let me help you get your prem ID.
Yep.
And because of that, and all these traceability things, we've gotten almost 90% of our hogs enrolled in all of this. It really is. So in case of emergency, Kentucky can get back to work pretty darn fast.
Yeah, you know, we've seen some of these issues happen in the poultry industry in the western part of the state. Happen already,
right?
You know, it's great to see y'all out in front of some of this stuff and getting that and having her there to help with that and to mitigate, you know, any issues that you may have, and having somebody that knows what's going on in the pork industry, I think will be very helpful if something like this was to happen.
Right. And you know, now we hear a whole lot too about farmer mental health. And I think with her position also, especially right now going through some of the economic times that the pork industry is, it is so nice for them to just have a friendly face that will come and sit down and say, tell me how I can help you. I'm not here for money. I'm not here for anything else. just, I'm here to help you. And I think right now that plays a big role, having somebody that can get out and stand and kick the dirt with you and have a good conversation, and it not be me badgering them for a letter to a legislator, or make a phone call to a congressional office, or Emma saying, hey, your membership's out of date, you better pay that. It's just a friendly face coming and saying, what can I do for you?
Well, means a lot.
It does, and I mean, and we've said this many times, but in the business that we're all in, it's the relationships that we build with those folks is really what really starts, helps us to be able to help them and be, and for everybody to be successful.
Exactly.
Because you do have to build that trust, and you have to get to know that person and know that that person is really there to help you. And once they know that, then it's a win-win for everybody. And I think that's just for you all to bring her on as mm-hmm. part of your team, that's going to help everybody.
Oh, definitely. And even from an extension standpoint, you know, I want her to be that resource for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it was good to know that. And, you know, as we're talking about this, a great place to come and meet everybody is going to be at your annual meeting mm-hmm. Coming up January the 19th. 2024, and that is the day after the commodity conference, so you can do a 2-for-1 if you want to and come to that. So tell us a little bit about what you've got going on for the annual meeting.
Oh man, we have such a good agenda that's shaping up, and we'll drop that pretty soon. But you know, we're going to have Holly Cook from National Pork Producers Council come out, and she's our economist that's on staff, and give a good outlook, you know, looking over the next 12 months. We're going to have Dr. Anna Forsyth, who's really leading the charge on this traceability framework. She's going to come out and do a deeper dive in that, because I even need a deeper dive in that. Boy, you talk about getting in the weeds. We're going to have some folks come out and talk about possibly some consumer trends and what the National Pork Board's doing in terms of retail food service, you know, how they're really marketed and all those type things. Because I think that's something that a lot of our farmers forget about, is, you know, a good portion of their checkoff money goes to that National Pork Board. It's not just here in the state. And that's really what's reaching the masses and making those sales. Mm-hmm. I think Kylie's going to do an in-person PQA training for a portion of the day. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, also we're going to have our big youth event again this year. I think the scientist from the University of – or the Ohio State University is going to come in. Sorry, I forgot about the. Emma reminds me of that all the time. She hails from Ohio, so I'm learning a lot. So they will be coming back. Last year, it was one of the most popular events we've ever had. Yeah. Yeah. We'll be doing a little judging clinic, but also, you know, new next year for the state fair, youth exhibitors have to be YQCA certified.
Yep.
So we're also going to offer that as an in-person session too.
Yeah, I mean, this is, to me, is a great opportunity to come and interact with folks that are in the, you know, in the pork industry. It's a good opportunity for us as agents. This is something that we probably haven't done enough of in the past, is be involved in the Pork Producers Association. We're involved in some other, you know, associations, mm-hmm. and this is another one that we can get involved in. And you're right, that youth, you know, they're obviously the future of this industry, and we want to, you know, and I know y'all want to kind of keep them involved in what's going on, but yep. you're exactly right about that. If you're going to show pigs next year, you do have to be you know, certified. So, you know, here's an opportunity to do that and learn some other stuff too.
And speaking of youth too, you also have a youth membership program with the association, correct?
We do.
Looking on your website. And so just talk about that just a little bit for some of our youth folks that may be interested in joining.
Yeah, our youth program is definitely something that's up and coming. We're trying to figure out parts and pieces and ways and meet the needs of all of our folks. But, you know, what we're really trying to do is develop the next round of professionals for the swine industry. You know, you may not show a pig, you may not raise pigs, and that's fine. But if you've got an interest, we want to be there and we want to help develop that. Because there's so much employment opportunity here within the state and the nation, the pork industry. And really, you know, again, this year is really going to be when we're able to really shine with our youth membership. We've got some really cool things coming down the pike. We're going to do a leadership program that it's going to be a multi-part deal, leadership skills, industry knowledge, those type things, something that maybe 4-H or FFA can't really get into the depths of it, but that's something that we can offer, you know, as a complimentary piece. We're going to be looking at maybe some type of a nutrition type clinic. We've had a lot of kids who are involved in those 4-H projects reach out on nutrition information and facilities, and we're hoping to offer that this spring as well. So there's lots of opportunity. We're always open for comments and suggestions. So whether you're a youth member, thinking about being a youth member, or parent, call us and let's talk.
And then there's for some of those high school students that will be graduating. I know we're just starting a year, but it goes by pretty quick. There's some scholarship opportunities possibly as well.
If you are a member or if you are related to a member, you are eligible for our scholarship. And you can get awarded that scholarship up to 3 times. It's pretty easy stuff. And we're here. Our folks are very, very passionate about youth education. You know, for our auction at our annual meeting, you know, a lot of folks might have a political action fund or something where they would put their auction money. No, all of ours goes to youth scholarships.
That's great. Lots of opportunities for our youth.
Absolutely. And Nikki, let's recap. Kind of tell us a little bit about swine production in Kentucky, just for those folks that may not know, you know, how many farms, you know, how many head. I mean, yeah. I got it here looking at me, but but if you want to see it, but
yeah, we've got over 1,800 hog farms here in the state of Kentucky, which, man, that just floored me when I started this job.
Yep.
But they're out there.
Yeah.
Whether you're selling it to JBS or if you're, you know, marketing hogs on the Kentucky Hogs and Pigs Facebook page, they're out there and they're everywhere. That's definitely a need for education. So that's my call to action to you extension folks here in the room. Make sure you're including that swine education, because boy, they're everywhere, every nook and cranny. But you know, we'll market over 860,000 pigs annually. That is a huge number.
It is.
Wow.
Absolutely.
And personally, I don't even think that's accurate. I think it's way more than that.
Really?
And right now, our top 10 guys here in the state, they're all expanding. It's very odd to say that, because if you look at a lot of our neighboring states, they're actually starting to tick down. But with that, you know, we've still got to meet that demand. So our guys are growing, and the opportunity's there. But it is such a reach here within our state, and it's such a big employer, and we're just so proud of it.
Yeah, I saw something like 8,800 jobs, I think.
Yep,
I saw that.
Attributed to the pork industry. And for those folks that are out there that may be listening, you're driving the tractor, driving the combine right now, if you're interested in the pork industry, give the folks at the Kentucky Pork Producers a call. And, you know, you never know, they may can hook you up with somebody that may be looking to expand and may be able to, you know, for a hog house there on your property.
Right. Exactly. You know, the large guys like Jimmy Tosh, they're pretty easy to find, but there's a lot of medium-sized guys that are looking to put barns in as well, and they're really using the association as their networking piece. So if you're looking to add a barn, create another revenue stream, add some value to your crops, definitely give us a call. My cell phone number is on the website. Call me, call Kylie. We're more than happy to come talk with you. If they're in the combine, we're more than happy to talk to you, you know, those 12 sure. hours you're in there a day.
You know, David, that's a good chance for our producers of other commodities. You're talking about grain producers, whatnot, to get involved. But with October being pork month, we have a large consumer base in this state that can also support their pork producers, and we thought that would be a good timely tip for this week, is just to remind everybody, whether you're a producer, whether you're a consumer, support your pork producers. And you can do that by buying their products. That's first and foremost the easiest way. If you're a consumer and you're leading a busy life and you don't have that time to get involved and support pork producers in other ways, buy their products. Even though we're at the end of the season, we might see a downtick just a little bit in those grillable items as some of our summer celebrations come to a close. There is a whole host of recipes that we've talked about that are accessible anywhere on social media, anywhere on the internet. And pork is probably one of the easiest protein products to move inside. Whether you're baking pork chops in the oven, whether you're doing country style ribs in a crock pot, or one of my favorites is just a good old fashioned pork roast. You know, growing up with a pork roast in the slow cooker, that was how we consumed pork outside of breakfast.
Right.
Because pork was pretty much a breakfast time, you know, deal. But just remind everybody, get out there, support your pork producers and buy their products.
And as a side note, they have recipes, pork recipes also on their website.
So you I've can looked at those.
Check those out too.
Absolutely.
UK has a lot of those, a lot of that information they can get through. We've got a lot of recipes on our website as well. So I had a tenderloin sandwich this weekend, and it was pretty good. But now, Jay, it's got to get pretty darn cold for me to come inside from grilling. I mean,
well, that's me too. I grill year round.
Yeah, I can put a coat on.
But you know, with that average consumer that's coming home from work,
that's
they're not going to have time after dark to fire up that grill. They're not like me out there with a headlamp on.
That's right. That's exactly.
Hey, I will say, I fixed pork chops last night, but I did them in an iron skillet in the oven.
There you go.
And my husband said they was really good. Yeah. So
I tell you too, if you're trying to save time, they're pretty good in an air fryer also.
I have done that too. Yes.
I had fried tenderloin Saturday night for supper, had country ham yesterday morning and this morning. So we like I say, we're big supporters of the pork industry.
I love to hear it. I love to hear it.
Well, Nikki, we appreciate you being with us this morning. We want to thank you for this week's information, and thanks to our listeners for joining in. We hope you've enjoyed our show, and we'll make plans to join us again next week for our next episode. And until then, remember, Kentucky Ag matters.